This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
1320 WILS. It is Wednesday. Great to have you here. 53 right now here in Lansing. We're getting down to 35 as the low. Tomorrow it will be rainy. High of only 42, so full 10 degrees cooler, so it's going to be a cold one. I have a low of 39, so within that little band. And then Friday, high of 50, more rain and a low of 35. My next guest, the author of the brand new book, The Unholy Trinity, Blocking the Left's Assault on Life, Marriage, and Gender, Matt Walsh joins us. He's a columnist for The Blaze. Matt, great to have you on WILS.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and you have you met Glenn Beck?
Yeah, I've met him a few times. I work from my home in Maryland, and he's down in Dallas, so I don't see him very often. But I've communicated with him, and
we have him on. Well, he's on our station here. Hey, Matt, tell me this, because in the book, one of the controversial things you've written in there that's already gotten attention is this. You say that the first liberal was named Lucifer, the devil himself. Now, how is it that Lucifer was a liberal?
Yeah, well, I didn't just write that line to be provocative. There actually is, I think, a deeper truth there that I wanted to convey. And listen, the argument that I make is that liberalism is essentially just the worship of self. It's self-worship. It's the elevation of the self above God, above any notion of objective truth or objective reality. And in that sense, liberalism is the same as Satanism. You know, if you would actually talk to an actual Satanist who like goes to a satanic temple and everything, they'd tell you that Satanism is not the worship of Satan. It's the worship of self. It's just placing self-interest as the highest thing that we can attain in life.
And what's the consequence of doing that?
Well, there are many consequences. I think on an individual basis, I think you can kind of see how this seems like an appealing way of looking at the world, where your own self-interest is all that matters. But then I think people don't find happiness in it, and that's why there are a lot of kind of miserable, despondent people wandering around out there, thinking they're depressed and they need medication and everything.
I should say that atheists and agnostics out there, many of them in the U.S., they would say, look, they may not believe in God necessarily, but they certainly are not selfish. They care about their friends, they care about their communities and families. What do you say to them?
Well, I'm not saying they don't care about anybody, but they have no, the problem that you run into is if you're an atheist, you may care about people that are close to you because they're close to you, but there's no notion of, inherent human dignity. There is, in a sense, there's no real reason to care about anybody. Now you do because it's a natural thing, and it's natural for us to care about people. And we care about people naturally because even no matter what we say intellectually, we recognize inherently that people do have a certain dignity, that there is something about a person that's more than just their flesh and blood. But if we aren't all just flesh and blood, we came from dust, to dust we shall return, and that's all there is to life, and we're all just sort of accidents of the universe, then nothing really means anything, and caring about someone doesn't mean anything, and it's sort of illogical, in fact. So I would say that their caring about people is good. But that's an indication that their worldview is a little off.
Hmm. And do you believe the country is becoming less religious?
No, well, I'd say it's certainly becoming less religious. I think if you look at the statistics, 70 or 80% of people still would say that they're would identify as Christian. But it's one thing to identify as Christian just to answer a survey and say, yeah, I'm Christian. I think a lot of people who say that, what they really mean is, I agree with a few of the things in the Bible. I think we should be nice to each other and so on and so forth. I think maybe there's a heaven. I hope there is. That's what a lot of people mean when they say I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. All the other indicators, church attendance is way down, for instance. The other indicators would seem to show that observant religious Christianity is on the decline.
Now, why do you think that is happening?
Well, I think we've had 40, 50, 60 years of people being indoctrinated in, as I said, a kind of self-focused worldview.
And who's behind that message, by the way?
Who's behind what? I'm sorry?
Who's behind that message?
Behind the message? Well, yeah. I would say Satan is behind the message, ultimately. But all of our institutions in America at this point, particularly academia, the media, government, Hollywood, pop culture, all of our institutions, this is the message that they send. And we're all, you know, we are all immersed in this environment. And so we're kind of vulnerable to it. And unless we're, you know, raised in a really good Christian home, and even then sometimes we still fall prey to it.
We're talking to Matt Walsh. His brand new book, The Unholy Trinity, Blocking the Left's Assault on Life, Marriage, and Gender. How do you block that, by the way?
Well, I think it starts with, you know, on an individual basis. I mean, I think we're at a point where we have to talk about the basics. And, you know, conservatives, the whatever you want to call this, sometimes I don't even know what a conservative is anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the problem, that I guess I would identify as a conservative. But if you get 100 conservatives into a room, I don't think you're going to find much consensus on what it actually means to be a conservative and what our fundamental belief system is. What are our fundamental guiding principles? And so we need to start by reestablishing what those guiding principles are. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, we are sanctity of life.
Where do liberal people that don't believe in God and so on, where do they fit in your view then?
What do you mean, where do they fit in?
Well, I mean, how do you want to deal with that aspect of our country?
Well, they're still American citizens, and I think we need to engage with them mm-hmm. and try to bring them into the light of truth. But that's going to be a hard thing to do, because those of us who believe in objective truth, those of us who believe in God, I think we're essentially in the minority. And so, you know, we're kind of up against it, and we're being drowned out by a lot of noise.
Yeah. Now, were you always religious then, growing up and so on?
Yeah, I was raised in the faith, but, you know, at a certain point, even if you're raised in the faith, especially these days, you still have to make a decision, you know, as you become an adult. Is this something that's meaningful to me? Do I want to continue along this path? Mm-hmm. And, that's how it's been.
And so how do you make, when someone has been raised like you have, and then they turn away from their upbringing and their religion, how do you make sense of that?
Well, I think, you know, it's when you get out into the world, and you're away from the protective influence of your parents and that kind of insulating effect that your parents have, mm-hmm. and you get out into the world and, you know, you discover that, you know, it's difficult to stick with that belief system.
Right.
It's a difficult thing to do.
Were there points where you were questioning it yourself?
I never questioned the fundamentals of my belief system. It always made sense to me. And as I read into it and I discovered more about it, it continued to make sense. However, living according to my faith has been a constant struggle, and I've failed many, many times, and I continue to fail. So that part has not been a breeze at all. Mm. I'll be the first to say that. But as far as believing itself, I've never really had a point where atheism makes sense. It's never made sense to me, and it still doesn't.
Well, what about those that don't literally believe in every tenet of their religion, but have a more of a spiritual take on religion? How do you see that?
Well, I don't know exactly what that means. I know people say that I'm spiritual, not religious. I guess someone would have to explain the distinction to me. Because I tell you what, it's oftentimes when someone says that, what they seem to mean is I kind of like the idea of there being a God. I kind of like the idea of there being a heaven. But I don't want to have to live any certain kind of way. And I don't want to have to order my life according to this truth that I think might be real.
Some people would say, look, as they've grown up, they've seen that there are all kinds of religions out there, all kinds of perspectives, so they take the position that it's a kind of a larger spiritual issue rather than one particular religion. What do you say to that?
Well, there are a lot of religions out there, but they're all saying drastically different things, so they can't all be right. Either they're all right or they're all wrong, mm-hmm. But the idea of trying to find truth in all of them, I think, is kind of hard to do when they're so drastically opposed. And in some cases, are killing each other over it, or, you know, that's kind of one side at the moment. There's one religion killing all the others. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, they're all saying very different things about the universe and about our fundamental purpose on Earth. So I think you have to look at that and say, are any of them right? And if any one of them are right, then you should adhere to that religion. And if none of them are right, then there's no reason to call yourself spiritual at all.
Mm. What do you see as the future for conservatives and religious people in America?
I think it's a difficult road ahead. We're not, you know, as I said, we are in the minority. We're not the powerful force in the culture right now. Most of the institutions are against us. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, stretching this thing out, looking ahead 50 years, where are we going to be? I don't know. You know, I can't look in the crystal ball. But I think the only chance to save conservative Christians, kind of reclaiming the culture, having a country that is God-fearing again, a Christian country again, the only chance of that happening is a generational play. So we have to raise our kids in that truth. They raise their kids, so on and so forth. But maybe 6 or 7 years from now, that's what we'll be looking at. But I don't know. You know, I can only hope.
Yeah, I guess one of the loudest anti-religion voices is Bill Maher. Are you familiar with his viewpoints on religion?
Yeah, well, the thing about Bill Maher is I disagree with almost everything he says. I think he's fantastically wrong on a lot of things. But no, I'll give him credit at least that he's, I cherish consistency. I value consistency very highly. Mm-hmm. And he is consistent. So, for instance, he's not like what's common among liberals, where they seem to be very critical of Christianity and very critical about the supposed bigotry of Christianity. They have nothing to say about Islam whatsoever. And Bill Maher doesn't play that game. He's either an equal opportunity offender with religion. And although I think he's wrong, I do respect his consistency, at least.
Matt Walsh, he's the author of the brand-new book, The Unholy Trinity, Blocking the Left's Assault on Life, Marriage, and Gender, also a columnist on The Blaze. Check him out there. Matt Walsh here on WILS. Matt, thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thanks.